chapter 1. Dear Lord, I thank you that we can come and we can meet as believers in Christ together. Please help us this morning as we think on these words from Joshua. Please help us to be encouraged by them and grow in faith as a result of them. In Jesus' name, amen. As I was preparing for this talk, it struck me that we're nearly at the end of 2021. For many of us, that news will be greeted with a very long sigh of relief. For many more of us, these last 2 years, and it is 2 years now, will probably have been the longest in recent memory. With that in mind, I decided to look up what people were saying before COVID, before Corona, back in 2019, about the year that was about to begin. And I found an article by Forbes magazine called Inspiring Quotes for 2020, Jumpstart Your Happy New Year. As you can imagine, laughter ensued. It starts off like this. It says, a new year, a new decade. Make the most of your horizons ahead by being open to possibilities, something we all are now. Say yes to opportunity more than no. Nurture wanderlust, embracing travel and its transformative magic. A few of the best quotes. The life you have led doesn't need to be the only life you have. People don't take trips. Trips take people. You lose sight of things, and when you travel, everything balances out. There you go. On the other hand, I looked up an article printed at the beginning of this year called Quotes for a Great 2021, and these are a few, and they are very different. Number one, don't make plans, make options. Another, I think the more unexpected something is, the more there is to learn from it. And then lastly, and this sums it up, sometimes the year has been so disastrous and so terrible that entering a new year will automatically mean entering a wonderful year. And that was said at the beginning of this year. There's a distinct change of tone. I think that this makes sense. These have been two long, hard, difficult, lonely, and scary years. If I said 2 years ago that we would have to spend weeks upon weeks in our houses, not allowed to leave except to walk or to get groceries, only at certain times and with masks on, then we'd say, oh my goodness, could you imagine that? It seems unbelievable that this has been our life now for 2 years. It's easy, therefore, for us here in this room to be feeling different things. For the optimists, it might be, well, it can't get any worse than this. But for most of us, we may well be feeling fear and doubt. 2021, like 2020, may have for you brought loneliness and a fear of what the future might hold. Living on your own, not seeing family, having every sense of routine or normality ripped away, will have left many of us scared and vulnerable. For others, 2021 will have left us with doubts over the future. For some, this might be immediate worries. We don't have money. I don't have a job. For some, the fears of the future will be more long-term. I can't trust in the future anymore. Any stability I had has been shaken. I can't even expect to be able to leave my house anymore. For others, it may well be fear of death. It seems to me that that's all we've been faced with these last 2 years, numbers of those who are sick and numbers of deaths. Well, how do we move forward? Where do we look in our fear and uncertainty, and how do we be brave? 2021 has been very hard, and so what better place for us to turn than God's word? And in the chapter that we just heard read to us, we see Joshua in a similar situation. He's not facing a pandemic, but he has every right to be fearful and doubtful of what the future holds. I'm not going to speak for too long this morning. I'm also aware that there's lots in this chapter that we can look at, lots of different topics. You could preach on the theology of leadership or any number of different things. But what we're going to look at this morning is how God teaches Joshua to be strong and courageous. What we need to do to be brave in the face of our doubt, and fear of the future. Firstly, though, to give us a bit of background for the chapter we just heard, the Israelites have been wandering in the desert for 40 years. In the book of Exodus, they're rescued from slavery in Egypt and were promised by God to reach a promised land, a land where they could start their new life, a land flowing with milk and honey. And they were being led this whole time by Moses, who was God's chosen leader of the Israelite people. He had led them through everything, every trial they had faced, every difficulty they had to overcome. Moses was there. And if we know the story of Exodus, we will know that this didn't go perfectly in any way for the Israelites. And the Israelites disobeyed God. They didn't trust him. They grumbled about things. And the consequence of this was that they were to wander in the desert for 40 years. And all of them, except for a couple, including Joshua, who had rebelled at the time, were told that they would not step foot in this promised land that God had promised them. Then if you have your Bibles in front of you and you even just flick back a page or two, we finally see the death of Moses. This great leader, for many, he's the leader of the Old Testament, the one who has led the Israelites all this time through so much, has died. So you can imagine how Joshua is feeling at this moment from the chapter in Joshua. He's the one who's been newly appointed to lead the people into the promised land, and so Joshua has to be scared. His great leader has died, and now he has to lead the people into this unknown land, a land that they'd already run away from for fear of those who were living in it before. Joshua and the people that he is leading will be scared. They will be fearful, and they will be doubtful of what the future holds for them. Their trust in the Lord is about to be tested. That's where we are at the beginning of Joshua chapter 1. We're just going to walk through the passage as we see it before us, and then there are a couple of things that I think we can take out of it nearing the end of another long year. The passage can basically be summed up in three sections. God speaking to Joshua, then Joshua going and speaking to the people, and then the people responding to what Joshua said to them. And it's all to do with this charge given by God to Joshua that he must lead the Israelites into the promised land. God tells Joshua what he's to do in verses 2 to 9. He must do it courageously, he must do it obediently, and he must do it straight away. God knows exactly what's happening with his people. He knows the situation that they're in. He knows that they need direction. And so he's giving it to Joshua, their leader. And the way he does it isn't by saying, Joshua, do what you think is best for the people. He doesn't say, well, sit down for a bit and form a committee and see what you come up with. He says very clearly, go, get up, and get ready. Get ready to go into this land that I'm about to give you. And he says this to a man that he knows, like us, will be scared. Joshua is having to step up and step forward into a great unknown, into a very new and a very scary period of life. Of course he's going to be scared. Joshua then goes, this is the second section, and he tells the people in verses 11 to 15 what he's just heard. He speaks firstly generally to all of the people, and then he addresses a particular group who evidently, from the passage, they want to live separately from where the rest of the Israelites are going to be living in the promised land. And to them, he says simply, verse 14, before you do that, before you go and live separately, first help your brothers and sisters get in and get sorted before you think about yourselves. And as an aside, it's a good reminder to us that our faith is not an individualistic faith. Do you have a desire to help those around you in this room this morning make it to the promised land? Then the last section of chapter 1 from verse 16 onwards is where the Israelites who Joshua has been talking to respond to what he said. And it's very encouraging how they do respond. Verse 16, they say, whatever you have commanded us, we will do. Wherever you send us, we will go. just as we fully obeyed Moses, so will I obey you. Only may the Lord your God be with you as he was with Moses. God knows exactly how to encourage his people. He knows what Joshua needs to hear in his time of fear, and he knows what the Israelites need to hear to encourage them to follow Joshua into the promised land. They need to hear the need for them to be strong and courageous, and they need to hear the promises of God fulfilled. God has been with them so long. They are only there at the edge of the promised land because God has fulfilled promises he made to them. God will be with Joshua as he was with Moses, and that means everything to the Israelites who are hearing that. That's the chapter. God speaking to Joshua, Joshua speaking to the people, and then the people responding to Joshua, all concerning this need for them to move together into the land that God had promised them tons and tons of years ago. For Joshua and the Israelites, this is a huge moment. This is the culmination of years and years of trust. If you're reading through the Old Testament, then this is a fulfillment of years and years and years of promises for the people of God to be given a land for themselves. It is right for Joshua to be fearful in this situation. He doesn't know the future. Moses has died. He doesn't know what to expect. The people in this land he's supposed to take are powerful and terrifying. The land has scared these people off before. Joshua is scared. The Israelites will be scared. And they are without their leader of so long. And so what do they do? Well, God gives Joshua what I think are 2 points for him to hold on to in the face of this land and in the face of his fear. And most of us here this morning are not leaders of God's people in any way. However, we can still learn from what God teaches Joshua to hold on to in our own fear or our own doubt. It's these 2 points that we here at the end of 2 very long years can hold on to. Firstly, we need to be strong and courageous. And secondly, we need to hold on to the promises of God. Firstly, and I'm sure that for many of you it will have been something that stuck out as we heard it read before, be strong and courageous. 4 times through these verses we hear those words. Verse 6, God tells Joshua to be strong and courageous. Verse 7, he says again, be strong and courageous. Verse 9, be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Then lastly, as the people respond to Joshua, acknowledging God's command to be strong and courageous. Right the way through the chapter, this theme of being strong and courageous is there. God is making it very clear that Joshua needs to be both of those things. In the face of that which he is fearful of, which is moving forward into this promised land, he is to be brave. The people are not to do what they've done in the past, which is to get scared and not move forward and back away. No, they need to take hold of the land that they've been promised by God. Joshua needs to be strong and courageous. Now, like I said before, we are not leaders like Joshua was. In fact, we don't have leaders like Joshua was today. So how are these words applicable to us? They were said to a specific man at a specific time in a specific situation, not to you, to me. And so how do they apply to us? Give me a quick moment because this is important for us to understand. Many of you will know that Joshua is the different language version of the name Jesus. And in every way possible, Jesus fulfills what Joshua was to do. Jesus leads perfectly God's people to our heavenly home, to the promised land. But he needed these words, be strong and courageous, just as Joshua did. It's easy to look at Jesus and think that he's just a superman who never struggled with anything. But when we see Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, pleading with God that if there is any way for him not to go to the cross, please make that happen. Jesus needed courage. Jesus needed strength. More than, I think, any other time in the Bible, Jesus needed the words, be strong and courageous. Well, Jesus did go to the cross, and he did die. And now we don't have spiritual leaders in the same way anymore, spiritual kings or judges in the same way as the Old Testament, because all of that was fulfilled in Christ. He is the perfect leader and the perfect king, and we are told to cling to him as his people, to take up our cross and follow Christ. We are in Christ, and so these words are true now for us as well. Be like Christ, be strong and courageous. For us here this morning, what are we scared of? What do we fear? There's a scene in the Harry Potter books, if you've read them, where Harry and his friends need to defeat a monster in one of their classes. It's called a boggart, and the boggart's kind of gimmick is that it turns into what the person fighting it is scared of. And so for some students, when it sees them, it turns into a mummy or a huge spider, and they then have to overcome it with the right spell. Now, most of these things are trivial, but I wonder what it might be for us if we were in that same situation. While we might not fear Professor Snape, what are our fears at the moment? I mentioned a few before. At the moment for you, it may be a lack of financial security. It has been a hard, hard time for many, so you might be fearing the future in that sense. For others, though, it may be a fear outside of things affected by COVID. You may fear death. You may fear for the faith of your children. You may fear sickness. You may be someone who fears natural disasters. You may fear the future, what will happen, nothing is certain at all. You may just look around the world and fear the direction that it's going in. For others, like we spoke of with Joshua earlier, you may fear moving forward and taking a new step. Finishing school, being a parent, being a husband or wife, getting a new job, moving house, moving city, retiring. These are all things that we can, like Joshua, fear. Or do we? This world, the state of this world, makes it very easy to be fearful. There is so much wrong in this world, and therefore there is so much that can rule our minds and make us worry. For Joshua, he was fearing a future that he was uncertain of. And for him and for us, as we fear, God has one command. Verse 9, do not be afraid, be strong and courageous. That's it. That is the answer to the question of fear. Now, if you're anything like me, that may well be an entirely undesirable answer. I know that I should be brave, but I'm not because I'm fearful. That's my problem. When I was younger, I used to have terrible nightmares. I used to struggle to sleep and struggle to stay asleep. And the common advice I'd get from people who are usually my mother was think about something else. Now, this might be true. We might have to just think about something else. We might have to just be brave. But that is not easy. And God knows that it is not easy. He is speaking in this chapter of Joshua to a people that he knows are fearful. He understands why they are fearful. And he tells them not only to be brave, but also how to find that courage. And that's the second aspect of this chapter that we need to remember. Firstly, be brave, be strong and courageous. And secondly, it's a lot quicker, the second point, and this is how to be brave. Remember God's promises. How do we find courage? We remember God's promises. Right the way through this passage, the idea of promises is presented to the Israelite people. If you were there on that day, there would be no way that you would leave from hearing Joshua speak, thinking anything other than God has promised that this would happen. Verse 3, verse 4, verse 5, 6, 11, 12, 15, are all promises in the first chapter of Joshua. These people are listening to a God who has promised things. They are listening to a God who has fulfilled every one of those promises. God knows that for the Israelites, what they need is a reminder of the promises that he has made and has kept. Do you? Do we? Do we need to remind ourselves of the promises that God has made to us? J.I. Packer, the great Christian leader, said, "I am a child of God. God is my Father. Heaven is my home. Every day is one day nearer. My Savior is my brother, and every Christian is my brother too." That is what God has promised us. Christmas is coming up very soon, scarily, and God promised us that he would send his son, and he did. And he has promised that should we put our trust in him, we will be saved and we will live forever with him in heaven. That is a huge promise. But this is from a God who has never broken a promise. This is a promise that will not be broken. We in this room will know that there are certain people we personally trust more. We trust that they'll keep their promises. They will keep promises in the future because we know that they've kept promises to us in the past. Well, now think of God, thousands of years of promises, and not one ever broken. How do we remember these promises? How do we continue to remind ourselves of God's love for us? Verse 8, keep this book of the law on your lips. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. That's how we remember. We get stuck into God's word. Remind yourselves of all the promises that God has made and kept. And remind yourselves of the promises that God has made to you. Now, that's how we have courage. And that is how we find strength. If we are constantly in God's word, constantly reminding ourselves of his love for us, constantly remembering the promises that he has made to us, then we can be brave because we have every reason to find strength. I will never leave you nor forsake you. How glorious are those words to us as Christians? Even more so for us now because we have his spirit. If you're scared of the future, God is in control completely. He will never let you go. And you have a home with him in heaven. You're fearful for the faith of your loved ones? Then trust a God who can work miracles, listens to prayer, and knows every hair on your head. Do not be anxious. Do not be afraid. If you fear anything, then read God's word. Remember his promises. If we don't read his word, then we can't know this. So we need to be reading his word. As we fear the future, we need to remember the past. Now, this isn't saying, well, you'll never be afraid anymore. Or if you're fearful, then you're not reading enough or you don't have enough faith. No, God says all this to us because he knows that we will fear and we do fear. But what we do with that is what's important. You can only have courage when you are fearful. There's no need for courage if you're not scared. Well, in that fear, all we need to do is cling to Christ. Cling to Christ and trust in him. Most of you don't know me. If you did, you'd know that I love ice hockey. I think ice hockey is the greatest sport in the world. And there's a record in ice hockey that I think is the single greatest record in sports. And this is the record. It's the most combined points by a pair of brothers in the National Hockey League. What that means is it's the combined amounts of goals and assists scored by any two brothers over their career. That's the record. Now the brothers who hold this record, the greatest sportsman of all time, Wayne Gretzky, and his brother, Brent, who no one's ever heard of, their combined total of points, which is more than any other brothers before or since in the history of the world, is 2,861 points. In this pair, Wayne Gretzky has 2,857 points and Brent has 4. Think about that for a minute. Wayne Gretzky has all but 4 of the points. Him on his own would have more points than any other brothers in the history of the world. We are Brent Gretzky. We don't have to do anything, and we get all the glory. God will do all the work. His promises will give us courage, and he will bring us to heaven. All we have to do is cling to Christ, and we get everything. We get that glorious prize. We can be certain of our place. We can know full well that we will meet him in heaven. In our fear, cling to Christ and remember his promises, because that will get us through everything. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and courageous. Jesus was. We saw that in the garden earlier. Be strong and courageous. These last years have been very, very long for all of us. Many of us will be fearing the future. But for us here in this room who trust in Christ, be strong and courageous. How? Remember his promises. We trust in the creator of the world and a father who holds us in his hands. So cling to him, cling to his word, and trust in him to deliver us to the promised land. How can we not be brave with that knowledge? Let me pray.